Thanks, guys. I'm going to release them so they can go and sit down. I'm going to just pull over my stand and I'm kind of looking. I'm hoping I'm going to be in an all right position for cameras. I've got a thumbs up. That's always good, isn't it? To get the thumbs up that we're good to go. Well, I'm really looking forward to just sharing with you this morning some of the things that God's just been speaking to me about. And I thought I'd just start off by just sharing a little story with you. Many of you that have been part of Harbour Church for a while would know that I have trained as a teacher. That's been my profession. Been a teacher for a long time and then sort of left the teaching a few years ago. But as a primary school teacher, there is nothing quite like your first ever class. Now, if you're on the other side, if you're a primary school teacher, you'll kind of get what I mean about this. I don't know if this is the same for secondary school, but in primary school, there is quite something quite special about that first class that for the first time ever they are yours, because on placements they're never quite your class, they're always someone else's and you're just coming in and out. And I still now remember my first ever class, and it was 18 years ago in 2002 that I had my first class. And one of the things I distinctly remember is actually right on the last day. So right on the last day of having this class, there were year five, so 9 and 10 year olds. I remember the last 10 minutes with this class, and I remember feeling, quick, this is my last 10 minutes with this group of kids. This is my moment to just pass on those last things I want to pass on to them. I wanted to give them wisdom for their life. I wanted to just impact them. I just remember being there like, I've got to say something really, really powerful here, because I want to just help them and give them something to take in their lives. Now, I have no idea what I said. Cannot remember that part in the slightest. It was 18 years ago. But I remember that feeling of just wanting to pass on to these children something meaningful, something they can take with them into life. And this morning, I want us to look at a similar moment, slightly different, but a similar moment in the Bible of one king passing on to his son to be the next king. Slightly different, teacher to kids and king to king, but same kind of concept. So if you have Bibles, and it will come up on the screen, we're going to look this morning in 1 Chronicles. And it's going to be 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And the king we're thinking about this morning is King David. And King David, he reigned for 40 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 40 years before he passed on to his son, Solomon. And in these last couple of chapters of 1 Chronicles, we get a little bit description of those moments before he's crowned as king. And if we start at verse 1, we've got chapter 28, verse 1. David summoned all the officials of Israel to Jerusalem, the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions, the other generals and captains, the overseers of the royal property and livestock, the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the other brave warriors in the kingdom. So basically, David has gathered this assembly of people to address them. The next few verses, we'll come to these later, but the next few verses he addresses these people he's gathered. But I want us to jump down to verses 9 and 10, and we're going to look at what he says, because at this point he's addressed the assembly in front of him, but now he turns to Solomon, his son. And this is what he says, verse 9. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Here is David passing on to his Solomon. And this morning, I want us to look at what it is that he passes on. And firstly, actually, I want us to think about, in fact, what he doesn't say. Because actually, I find it really fascinating that here is a king who's reigned for 40 years. His son is going to be taking on the reign. And actually, He doesn't just give him practical advice. He doesn't give a list of like do's and don'ts of being a king. He doesn't say, oh, you know, build a big army. He doesn't say, get all the best weapons to fight with. He doesn't say to him, you know, get the best cupbearer in the nation. You know, he doesn't advise him on human importance, but instead of spiritual importance. I love that the first thing he says is learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. I love this. The first thing he says to him, his priority as king is to have an intimate relationship with God. That's the most important thing. He goes on to tell him to worship the Lord, serve the Lord with your whole heart and your whole mind. You know, in the history of the Old Testament, the Israelites were always in this constant cycle of spending time worshiping the wrong thing, worshiping idols. They would so quickly mess it up and lose sight of who they're meant to worship, who they're meant to serve. And David here is urging Solomon. He's saying to him, don't lose sight of who God is. Don't lose sight of who you're meant to worship, who you're meant to serve. I love that almost here David is, he's passing on to Solomon what he's discovered for himself. You know, he's discovered, David knew what it was to have that intimate relationship with God. You know, even right at the beginning, when Samuel came to anoint David as a shepherd boy, he was known as a man after God's own heart. It was still years before he became king, and then for 40 years as king. So all that time, David still was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. But he always came back to God. He repented when he needed to. He cried out to God. He desired God. He longed after God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And we get a lot of that about David from just reading the Psalms. We get that essence of his relationship. David knew what it was like to have that relationship with God. And we see here that he wants to pass that on to his son, Solomon. I love that he says to him, if you seek him, you will find him. God, what great words. You know, we're reading these as words that David passed on to Solomon, but I really believe this morning these words are for us too, for you at home, wherever you are. Hear the words of David this morning saying, get to know your God intimately. Seek him and you will find him. These words are for all of us. These words that tell us this is what matters, that relationship with God. And I love here that that's what he talks about before he goes on about the temple. Your relationship with God comes before anything else. It comes first. It's more important than anything else. So we get at the end of these couple of verses that then one practical thing that David says to him, he says, the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Again, he's telling him, build a temple, not build an army, not build up silver and gold for yourself, not build up a mighty nation. But this advice to him is, build the temple. Why? Why is this the thing that he says? Well, it's the one thing that God said to David. It's the thing that God spoke to David about. You know, David here is passing on to Solomon the one thing that God spoke to him about. And if we jump back earlier in this chapter and we have a look, we can find out a bit more about this. So if we now go back to verse 2 of 1 Chronicles 28, this is what he says when he addresses all these people before him. So reading from verse 2, it says, David rose to his feet and he said, my brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, you must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, has chosen me from among all my father's family to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen the tribe of Judah to rule, and from among the families of Judah he chose my father's family. And from among my father's sons, the Lord was pleased to make me king over all Israel. And from among my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne of Israel and to rule over the Lord's kingdom. He said to me, your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I have chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. And if he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever. So you see, we get here this bit of explanation about how David wasn't the one that God wanted to build the temple. And interestingly, if you want to have a bit more reading this afternoon, if you go back in Chronicles to chapter 17, we get the account of when this happened. You see that apparently David was one day in his own house and he described it as a cedar palace. And it says in chapter 17 that he looked at his house and then he noticed the tent, the tabernacle, the tent. And he was like, hang on a minute, I'm here in this house and God is in a tent. And that's where then he was like, I want to build God a house. I want to build him a place. And interestingly, if you read the chapter, it's a great chapter to look at and read. God uses Nathan to then speak to David. And God says to Nathan, this is a message you need to say to him. And the message was, you're not going to build me a house. I actually love it because God goes on to say to David, I'm going to build you a house. That's another story for another day, but that's quite powerful in itself. And then he goes on to say to David, but your son will build the temple. So David was not the one. Although he had the desire for it, God didn't choose David to build the temple. He chose Solomon to build the temple. So despite not being the one to build it though, David was actually the one who made the plans. He got all the materials together. You know, in chapter 28, after those couple of verses of David passing on to Solomon, it says then David gave Solomon the plans for the temple. So he then goes on, and if you read it, take some time to read a bit more further into this chapter, he details like the plans for everything, how much gold there is, how much silver there is, what materials for this, and every single room, every single place, every single part is detailed out. And what I love is that we read when we look in this that this was given by God. This was given by God. It says, let me find it in verse 12, David also gave Solomon all the plans he had in mind for the courtyards. Now, other versions say it differently. In the NIV, it says he gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind. That tells us that these plans were God-given plans for David. Later on in verse 19, we read again, every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. These plans for the temple were God-given plans. Just like earlier, Moses was given the detail of how to build the tabernacle. So much detail, incredible. In the same way, those plans have been given to David. So what I love here is that the one practical thing that he's passing on is the thing that God has spoken to him about. God's spoken to him about the temple, told him it's to be Solomon, and that's what he's passing on. So my question this morning for all of us is, what are you passing on? What are we passing on? What are you passing on to your children? What are you passing on to your grandchildren? But even more than that, what are you passing on to your friends, your families? What are we as a church passing on to each other? Are we simply passing on human thoughts and human preferences, things in the natural? Or actually, are we being like David and passing on the spiritual things? Are we passing on the importance to seek God Are we passing on the importance of having an intimate relationship with him? Are we passing on what we've discovered in our own walks with God to those around us? Are we passing on the things that God is saying to us for each other? You know, as I've been thinking about this whole thing of David passing on and what we pass on to those around us, it made me think about these. If you have been in Harbour Church for a while, you know I like a good prop, something to just, an analogy. This is one of those batons that they use in relay races. Borrowed this from the children's school. And in a relay race, I don't often run them, so can't really talk from too much experience here, but you know, they're running and they're passing on the baton. And this morning, I want us to just think about this. We're all holding batons. What's yours? What are you passing on? You know, I even want to dare to say for some of us this morning, the challenge might actually be what's being passed on to you. There might be a baton that's being passed. We've got to choose to take it. Can I say to you, grab hold of the baton that's being passed to you? You know, David passed on a baton of faith to Solomon. He said, come on, get to know God intimately. Seek him and find him. Are you passing on a baton of faith to those around you? You know, as I was preparing for this, I also thought about that, the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, the one where it says, where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is light, darkness, let me bring light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. You know, let's pass on the baton of hope. Let's pass on a baton of light, of joy, of faith. Because, you know, actually, that's what we have. As children of God, as followers of Jesus, we have hope. We have a faith that we can pass on. We have joy. We have light. We've got this. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, know you're holding the baton that declares that, that says, yeah, I've got light in my life. Pass it on. Pass it on to others. You know, we've talked a lot over the last few weeks about the spiritual realm and just seeing in the spiritual and being filled with the Holy Spirit and hearing what the Spirit says. And this morning I want to say we need to pass on what we see in the spiritual. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and pass that on. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us for others. And when the Holy Spirit will speak to us, we can then pass that on to others. What are you passing on? What are you holding in your baton? You know, right at the end of this chapter, final thought from this. In verses 20 to 21, David also says this. It says, then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others will, with skills of every kind, will volunteer, and the officials of the entire nation are at your command. I love that he just says, be strong and courageous. Do the work. He's saying God is with you. He's going to help you. He's not going to leave you. And I love it because it almost, I just get this sense like David is encouraging Solomon. It's like he's cheering him on, going, come on, do the work he's given you. You can do this. God is with you. You know, the baton of encouragement is really powerful. There's more I can say on that, but that's for another time. But I just want you to hear this morning how important encouragement is. You know, we need to pass on the baton of encouragement, that we will encourage each other. Let's encourage each other to do the work that the Lord has given us. Cheer each other on and go, come on, God's given you that. You can do it. God is with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Let's encourage each other to seek God. Let's encourage each other to have an intimate relationship with him. What are you passing on? I don't know about you, but I want to be like David. They're the things I want to pass on. I don't want to pass on earthly, human, just my own little opinions or preferences. I want to pass on what matters. What matters is knowing him, having a relationship with him. What matters is worshiping him, serving him. What matters is doing the things that he tells us to do. This morning, just you might even just want to imagine holding on to your baton and maybe just take a moment. Maybe you've been holding on to the wrong baton. This morning, let's pass on the baton of faith, the baton of encouragement. Let's pass on that hope and that light and that life and that joy that we have discovered. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning, I just want to thank you for the words we've read this morning of what David passed on to Solomon. And firstly, God, we just want to take heed of those words for ourselves. Oh God, I pray that for everyone that's joining in this morning, I pray that they will discover that intimate relationship with you. Father, I pray for each one of us that we will seek you and we will find you. God, help us to get this, to realize the importance of this, that this comes first, our relationship with you. And Father, this morning, we just hold our batons and just say, God, we want to pass on faith. Help us to pass on what matters to others. Help us to pass on encouragement. Help us to hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us and to pass that on to those around us. Help us to pass on the baton of faith. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, can I encourage you to go away and actually, if you get a moment, just read a bit more of these couple of chapters, 1 Chronicles 28, and then go back and read 1 Chronicles 17, because they're great chapters that we can get a lot from. We're going to just end with some more worship. The band, I think they're all there. Brilliant. Look at that. Let's sing and let's worship. Our God.